everybody. This is Lindsey Nelson at the Polo Grounds in New York, welcoming you to another New York Mets doubleheader, brought to you by Rheingold Extra Dry and Viceroy Cigarettes. This afternoon, the Mets meet the Houston Colt 45 here at the Polo Grounds. Ralph Kiner, Bob Murphy, and I are on hand to bring you every bit of the action. The conference continues at home plate between the umpires and managers, warming up right now for the Houston Colt 45s is the veteran right-hander, Skinny Brown. Warming up for the New York Mets is Galen Sisko. The Colt 45s will start a lineup of left fielder Al Spangler leading off, the veteran Johnny Temple at second base batting second, Pete Reynolds at first batting third, and right fielder Rusty Straw batting fourth. Bob Aspamani playing third base and batting fifth. Ricky Jim Wynn playing shortstop and batting sixth. Howie Goss is in center field batting seventh. John Bateman is the catcher batting eighth. And Skinny Brown is the pitcher batting ninth. Now the starting lineup in batting order for the New York Mets. Leading off and playing second base is Juan Hunt. Batting second and playing third base, Jim Hickman. Duke Snyder is in right field batting third. Jesse Gonder again behind the plate and batting fourth. Mike Thomas is in left field batting fifth. Tim Harkness at first base batting sixth. Joe Hicks is in center field batting seventh. Larry Burlight at shortstop batting eighth. Galen Sisko, the pitcher, is batting ninth as the New York Mets take the field here at the Polo Grounds in New York. As you probably know, we had showers all around and in the metropolitan area this morning, and we had a fairly hard rain here at the Polo Grounds. However, the infield was covered and is in excellent condition. Al Spangler, left-hand batter, is coming up to lead off for the Colt 45. He has an average of .269, one home run and 16 runs batted in. Jim Hickman is on the edge of the grass at third, and here's the first pitch of the game, low for ball one. The Colt 45 is opening up a four-game series with its doubleheader today, single game tomorrow night, and a single game on Tuesday afternoon. Sisko's pitch swung on and does it deep to right. Going up the upper deck, and it's gone for a home run for Spangler. Spangler hits the second pitch of the ball game into the upper deck and right. It is his second home run of this season, and the Colt 45s are out in front by a score of 1-0. That brings up Johnny Temple, the veteran performer and second baseman for the Colt 45s, hitting .266 this year with 12 runs batted in. Breaking ball is in there for a called strike. Sisko deals, and it's outside for a ball. Jesse Gonder behind the plate today for the Mets. Didn't play yesterday when he complained of a slight back sprain, but apparently he's feeling okay today. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Breaking ball, it's low. It's 2-1. Ball is short. Taken and dropped by Burright. Chases it over. Can't find the handle, and on at first is Johnny Temple. Hit that one at Burright, and it scored as an error. Tried to take it on a short hop, but couldn't get control of the ball. With nobody out, former American League batting champion Pete Reynolds is coming up, playing first base today. He has a season's average for the Colts of .211 with 11 runs batted in. He's a left-hand batter. Sisko checks the runner, and here's the pitch one on line into left field for a base hit. Frank Thomas over, up with it, lays it back in, holding it second is Johnny Temple. That is a patented Pete Reynolds blow to the opposite field, and that's going to bring up Rusty Straw. Rusty Straw playing right field today. He is the New Orleans rookie who has a batting average of .209 right now, 3 home runs and 26 runs batted in. Left-hander Don Rowe is up and throwing in the bullpen now for the New York Mets. The Colts leading by a score of 1-0. Sisko checking. Here's the pitch to Staub, and it's a little tight for ball. On deck is Bob Aspromonte. Sisko checks the runners, and the pitch breaks low and inside. The ball is 2-0. first and second, nobody out. Houston won, the Mets nothing. And now the 2-0 pitch is inside for ball. Out to 3-0. Now the 3-0 pitch to Staub. It's fired in for a call strike. He was taking all the way. Let's get the crowd reaction. This ball game, of course, got underway on time. There was no delay because of the shower this morning. Galen Sisco with the 3-1 pitch. And it misses low. He walked him, and Rusty Staub goes to first. The bases are loaded. Bob Astromonte is coming up. A Brooklyn boy, he is batting 199 with 3 home runs and 19 runs batted in. There is still nobody out for the Colt 45s in the top half of the first inning. Sisco works straight away, and the pitch is high for a ball. The New York Mets leave the infield at double plays up here in the first inning. Astromonte has the bat cocked. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball in the dirt, blocked by Gonder, keeps it out in front of him, so there is no at-bat. That was a breaking ball down in the dirt, and Gonder blocked it. Keep it out there in front so there could be no at-bat. 2-0, the count. Ron Hutt has come into the mound, now goes back to his position at second. Runnels at second, Staub at first. The 2-0 pitch is high for ball three. It's gone out three balls and no strikes. With the bases loaded. On deck is rookie shortstop Jim Wynn. Galen Sisco in trouble early here in this ball game in the top half of the first inning. Still has not retired a man. And he walked him, and that will force in a run. That pitch was high and tight. And Casey Single is on his way to the mound as Johnny Temple comes across the plate. Still nobody out. Houston leading 2-0. Bases still loaded. Astromonte gets a run batted in for going to walk with the bases loaded. Casey Single looking down toward the bullpen, and he's going to bring Don Rowe in. Don Rowe now starts in. So Galen Sisco has failed to retire a batter as he has faced five of them here in the first inning. Up to now, he has been charged with two runs. He is responsible for the three men he is leaving on base. He has allowed two hits. He has struck out none, and he has walked two. As Don Rowe comes out. This, of course, is an afternoon for a lot of baseball in the Major Leagues. And to tell you what's on tap, here's Ralph China.
Okay, Lindsay, the second place San Francisco Giants are playing at Pittsburgh, scheduled at Pittsburgh, but that doubleheader has been postponed because of rain. And don't forget, San Francisco will be in here at the Polo Grounds for night games on Wednesday night and Thursday night. The Giants at the Polo Grounds Wednesday night and Thursday night. Los Angeles has settled out the score 3-1 in favor of the Los Angeles Dodgers after four innings. Johnny Padres going for his win against Cal McGlitch. That is the first of two. One home run in that ball game by Johnny Callison. And in the National League, Chicago's at St. Louis. They're out in the top of the first. St. Louis now batting. Glenn Hobby going for the Cubs against Ray Sadecki for the St. Louis Cardinals. That is the first of two. Also, doubleheader at Cincinnati, Milwaukee playing there. The scheduled starting pitchers are Bob Shaw against John Segura. In the American League, New York at Kansas City for two. That game not yet underway. Detroit at Washington, a doubleheader postponed right there. So rain all around the country. Baltimore is scheduled at Chicago for a doubleheader. Cleveland, a doubleheader at Minnesota. They're off the top of the first inning with no runs. Minnesota now coming to bat. Pete Ramos going for the Indians against Jim Cott for the Twins. Also in the American League, Boston at Los Angeles, and that game is not yet underway, and there's a doubleheader out there, too. So plenty of baseball coming your way. Also plenty of baseball right here at the Polo Grounds. We're in the first inning, and we have two games to come off right here, and here's once again is Lindsey Nelson.
All right, Ralph Kiner, it has begun to rain slightly here at the Polo Grounds, and the umbrellas have begun to spring up in the box seat areas up the lower deck. John Rowe has completed his warm-up tosses. Right-hand batter Jim Wynn is coming up. Wynn has an average of .333. He's been up only 12 times and has four hits. He has one run batted in. He was a draft selection last winter by Houston off the Cincinnati roster. Here is a pitch high for ball. Jim Wynn playing shortstop these days for the Colt 45. Bases loaded, nobody out. Pitch to the right-hand batter. He's in there for a called strike. It's one and one. Pete Reynolds is at third. Staub at second. Has the money at first. Here's a swing and a looper in the left field. It's going to be a long run, and nobody can get it. It falls in as Hicks feels it throws in. One run has scored. The bases still unloaded. Pete Reynolds had to hold up until he could see whether that one would drop in or whether it would be caught. So it is a single for Jim Wynn and a run batted in, and the Houston Colt 45. Right in front by a score of 3-0. A looping single into left center field for Jim Wynn. That brought Pete Reynolds in from third. Staub moved to third. Asmamani at second. Wynn is out at first. That run, of course, charged against Galen Sisco. And swing and a miss for strike one. Howie Goss is at the plate, batting .215, 9 home runs, 33 runs batted in. There's a pitch low for a ball. Grover Paul is throwing in the bullpen. Now Jay Hook is throwing in the bullpen for the New York Mets. And here is the swing. And a miss. It's two strike count, one and two. Still nobody out for the Houston Colt 45. Playing a foul ball just at the end of the bat of Howie Goss. He came to the Colt 45 from the Pittsburgh Pirates during spring training this year. Getting his sign from Jesse Gunder. Working straight away. Here's a swing and a high pop to short right. Hunt is back there. Infield fly has been called. And Hunt makes the catch. No advance. One away. That'll bring up Johnny Bateman. Bateman is batting .193 with five home runs and 23 runs batted in. Mets leave the infield at double play depth as the Colt 45 lead 3-0. It's a swing and a drive to left center. Thomas racing over. Dodge can't get it. It goes by him. One run has scored. Two runs scoring. Wynn is coming around third. Three runs have scored. On the way to third is Johnny Bateman. He pulls up with a triple and three runs batted in. And the Colt 45 lead by a score of 6-0 in the first inning. Good as a triple as Frank Collins elected to try to go for the diving catch of the sinking line drive, and when he did not make it, the ball rolled all the way out to the bullpen area. Three runs batted in. So with one man out, pitcher Kenny Brown is up, a runner at third, and still one man out. That's in there for a called strike. Here's a swing and a fly ball to right, going deep, way back, and this one is off the face of the wall, some fair territory. Snyder picks it up, plays it in, the run scores from third. It is a single to right, and a run batted in for Jimmy Brown as Bateman crossed the plate. Jay Hook throwing in the bullpen for the New York Mets as Al Spangler comes up for his second time. He hit the second pitch of this ballgame for a home run in leading off. It is 7-0 now. The Colt 45 is leading. Five of the runs charged against Galen Sisco, and two of them charged against Don Rowe. Pitch is inside to the left-hand batter Spangler. Jenny Brown with the jacket on at first base. Don Rowe again checks his runner, and here's the pitch swung on, has a foul ball. Back at third, Jim Hickman has it lined up. Waiting and makes the catch. Two away. Johnny Temple coming up for his second time. He was out on the error by shortstop Larry Burright, and he was the second man up in this ballgame. Again, checks and deals, and the pitch is in there for a called strike. This pitch is low. It's blocked by Gonda. Rolls up the first baseline. No advance by pitcher Skinny Brown. In the bullpen, a ball has eluded Choo Choo Coleman, and he goes out into center field to retrieve it. Runs it back to the bullpen now. A count of 1-1 to Temple at the plate. The pitch is low and inside for ball. It's 2-1. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and still deep to left. Thomas going back, way back, and makes the catch going away for the out. Mike Thomas hauled it down, so in. The top half of the first inning. Colt 45's got 7 runs on 5 hits, 1 minute, 1 Colt left, and at the end of a half inning of play, it is Houston 7, the Mets nothing. We're going now to the bottom half of the first inning. The Mets trailing by 7 runs, send up Ron Hunt, the second baseman, to face Jimmy Brown. Brown has won 2 games and lost 4 so far this year. 38 years of age, he is 6'1", 185 pounder from Greensboro, North Carolina. He has no record against the Mets. His lifetime record, 79 wins and 70 losses. No wind-up delivery. And the pitch is in there for a call strike to Hunt. Ron Hunt is batting 257 with 5 home runs and 20 runs batted in. Swinging a foul ball back to the right and out of play. 2-strike count to Hunt with Jim Hickman on deck. Ron Hunt in spring training was used as a leadoff man a great deal. Early in the year, he was used either in the leadoff spot or batting number 2, and then he was pushed down to number 3. He's been batting number 5 of late, and he's back up there in the leadoff spot today. It's just outside. 1-2. The veteran, Al Brown, uses a slow, easy delivery. Paul Richards had him on his pitching staff in Chicago and Baltimore. Uses a knuckler. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. He's been using him, the Colts have been using Brown for spot performances this year as a starter. Ron Hunt in and waiting. Here's the 1-2 delivery. Going on a ground ball to third. That's the money. Bobbles it off his chest, picks it up, throws on, and in time. He got him at first base. Was off the chest of Astromani, but he scrambled for it, recovered in time to throw on and get Ron Hunt. So Jim Hickman's coming up. He's batting 221, 8 home runs and 31 runs batted in. Duke Snyder moving out to the on-deck circle for the Mets. Pitch is in there for a call strike. Slight miss falling as the ball goes out. Away for ball hits, 1-1. ground ball back at third. Given a run by Astamani, he's at the barrier, and this one goes into the stands about a half a dozen rows deep. Count of one ball and two strikes to Jim Hickman. Starting the day's play in the National League, the Los Angeles Dodgers on top. Here's a pitch that is in there for a call strike. He caught him looking. So it is strikeout number one for Hal Brown. 2 minutes out, and Duke Snider coming up. Duke is batting 236 with 12 home runs and 28 runs batted in. In the National League race, the Dodgers on top, the Giants in second place, six games back, and the Chicago Cubs six and a half back, the St. Louis Cardinals six and a half back. That pitch is low for ball. National League yesterday, Dodgers defeated the Mets 11-2. The Phillies beat the Giants 4-3. Pittsburgh shut out Houston 3-0. It's the Snider swung out and missed. It's 1-1. Yesterday, the Milwaukee Braves beat the St. Louis Cardinals 7-5, and Chicago at Cincinnati postponed because of rain. The 1-1 pitch to Snider is outside for a ball. In the American League yesterday, the Angels beat the Yankees 3-1. The Minnesota Twins beat Boston 6-4. Kansas City and Cleveland split a doubleheader. Kansas City won the first in 6-5. Cleveland won the second in 7-4. An early win, credited with his 300th victory. Here's a swing and a foul ball back at third. Astamani gives it a run. It's curving on over into the stands and out of play. So, despite the fact that he left the ballgame after five innings of play yesterday, early win finally managed to notch that 300th victory. In the second game of the doubleheader, beating Kansas City 7-4.
Lindsay had eight tries to win that 300th, and he really struggled and finally got there. It's sure nice to see him make it, because I know it's been a real ambition of his right from the last year.
It certainly has. Here's a 2-2 pitch. Swung on, it's a ground ball, full foul. Back at first, fielded by Runnels. And in spring training, of course, early win didn't know whether he'd ever get another shot at trying to win the 300th, because he didn't know whether he'd be picked up by any major league club. But the Cleveland Indians did pick him up, and now he has become a 300-game winner.
He's pitched fine ball for them, too, even though he hadn't won that 300th game. He had pitched good ball all the way along.
Right. There's a pitch high and away. It's 3-2. Washington Senators beat the Baltimore Orioles 4-3 yesterday. The first win for Gil Hodges Senators over the Orioles this year. Detroit at Chicago in the American League rained out yesterday. Here's a payoff pitch to Snider, and he walked in. Snider goes down to first. He'll become the first set base runner, and that will bring up Jesse Gonder. It's going to be a great impact for the shin guard. Gonder has an average of 340. He has five home runs and eight runs batted in. When Gonder hit two home runs here the other night, we told you it was the first time this year that any man had hit two, but that wasn't true, because Duke Snider hit two home runs on Willie Mays' night here. There's a big banner now flung out over the upper deck. Says, up yonder with Gonder. The pitch went on and foul back into the press box and out of play. It's strike one to Gonder with Mike Thomas waiting on deck. Another big banner says, let's go, Gonder, hit one yonder. Here's a pitch high, 1-1. A big banner unfurled when we walked in an hour or so ago from the lower deck that said, to heck with the Mets, we love Bob Murphy. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swung out and fouled off right down into the dirt. 1-2.
Great thing about that banner, I saw Bob's kids holding that banner up.
I wonder who they were. We're in the bottom half of the first inning here, and the Colts 45s lead the Mets by a score of 7-0. Gonder fouled that one right off his ankle, so he's exercising it a little bit. Snider takes his lead at first base, and here is the 1-2 pitch. It's outside for ball. 2-2. has been up 47 times this year and has 16 base hits. Right away for a ball. It's a full count now with two men out and a runner at first. Charlie Hemus coaching at first for the Mets and Cookie Labajetta around at third. Snyder leads, and the playoff pitch. Cron has a ground ball to first, taken on a big hop by Pete Ronald. He waves Brown off and makes the play unassisted. So in the bottom of the first, the Mets got no runs, no hits, no errors, and one left. At the end of an inning, first game of a doubleheader, it's the Colt 45-7, the Mets nothing. Tomorrow night, the Mets and the Colt 45s will meet in a single game here. Now, that game is not on. The schedule is set before the start of the season or at the start of the year, because this is a makeup game. Roger Craig will be the pitcher for the New York Mets in that ball game tomorrow night, and Ken Johnson will be the pitcher for the Houston Colts 45. This is a makeup of the game that was rained out here on the night of May 1st. Persons holding tickets for the May 1st game, they exchange them for tomorrow night's game or for any subsequent game. The tickets must be exchanged. The original tickets are not good for Monday night's game. And then on Tuesday afternoon, a regularly scheduled singleton between the Mets and the Houston Colt 45. The lights have been turned on here at the Polo Grounds now as we go to the second inning. The Colts sent 11 men up there in the top of the first. So it is Pete Runnels coming up now. He's singled him up. His first time up here today. Don Rowe is the pitcher. Getting a sign from Jesse Gunder, and here's a pitch to the left-hand batter. Swung on and fouled off to the right side. Gunder gives it a run, so does Harkness, and Gunder can't get it. He tried to one-hand it, didn't get it, and as he comes back to his position, we pause for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady 810 on your dial, where the time is 2:31 by the WGY clock.
This is Lindsay Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at the Polo Grounds in New York. It is a strike one count. Casey Stengel, when he went out to the mound to bring in Don Rowe, instructed Cisco to go down to the bullpen and continue throwing. So Cisco is down there just for a workout in the bullpen right now. Here is a pitch in there for a called strike two. Six swung on and fouled off. Reynolds just trying to get the bat on the ball that time, a short swing. Houston 7, the Mets nothing. Here's a pitch high. It's 1-2. Down row getting a sign from Gunder. They're swinging a foul ball to the left side out of play, going into the stand. Just been announced here in the press area that the 7 runs scored by the Colts in the first inning is their biggest inning of this year. Here's a swing out of fly ball to center. Joe Hicks goes after it and makes the catch.
We will be back on side two to continue the game.
One away. Rusty Staub is coming up. Up one time and he walked. Early in the season, Rusty Staub was being compared a great deal to the Mets' Ed Cranepool. Both started with fat batting averages. Here is a pitch that's in there for a call strike. The Mets have sent Cranepool to Buffalo for a little seasoning where he can play every day, and he opened up with 4-for-5, including a home run in his first game with Buffalo. Here's a swing and a foul ball into the upper deck and out of play. And Rusty Staub's batting average for the season right now is at 209. He continues to bat cleanup for the Colt 45. Here's a foul ball back at first. Two strike count to the youngster. The place. And he is hit by by a fish ball as it hit the protective helmet. You could hear it pop, and he is stretched out on the ground. He was trying to tuck underneath and caught it in the protective helmet. As you could hear that, the helmet flew off, and now he is on the ground, hit right on top of the head or the back of the head as he was trying to duck underneath. So he is getting attention now from the Houston trainer. Manager Harry Kraft is out there. The coaches have come down. Ball players are around him. Jim Ewell is the co-45 trainer now, as he is stretched out in a supine position, and now trainer Gus March of the New York Mets is going out to see if he can lend a hand. He's up now and moving around. Rusty Staub, with the crew cut red hair, is up now as the Mets have started a stretcher out from their dugout, but he's up now just feeling his head, and there's a case where that protective helmet, Ralph Kanner, came in very handy.
No doubt about that, Lindsay. It's a fine thing for baseball. Fiberglass helmet, and it certainly does take most of the shots when you are hit. And, of course, it doesn't crack too often, and that's the main thing. It holds its shape, and Staub is evidently all right. He's going to stay in. The game is going on down to first base.
Rusty Staub is running down to first base now. Hit by a pitch ball. That will bring up Bob Aspromonte. Umpire Tony Vinson, working behind the plate, has asked for a towel to be brought out so that he can wipe off home plate with a towel. A whisk broom is not of much help in trying to get mud off the plate. Aspromonte stepped in. He's been up one time and walked with the bases loaded to drive in a run. So he had to ask Tony Vinson to put a ball in play. Staub leads, and the pitch is high and away for a ball. Houston leading by a score of 7-0 here in the top half of the second inning. Swing and a foul ball. Left side not a play. That'll bring Staub back. There's one man out. Lum Harris, the coach at third, receives that ball and throws it out of play. It's still raining slightly as the ball goes out. Foul ball, this one's out of play. There are a lot of fans in the box seat area of the lower deck who have simply raised their umbrellas and they're sitting there in comfort. Swinging a ground ball to third. Jim Hickman up with it, goes to second, and he gets Staub. There's no relay. So Aspromonte becomes the base runner at first as Rusty Staub is forced from Hickman to Hunt. Two away, and rookie shortstop Jim Wynn's coming up. Went up one time, single to center. First, chased over by Harkness into foul territory, and now chases it back, still in foul territory, makes the catch. So in the top of the second, Don Rowe gets to go 45 out with no runs on no hits, no errors, and one left, and at the end of an inning and a half, it's Houston 7 and the Mets nothing. And the bottom of the second, the Mets send up Frank Thomas to face Kenny Brown. He's batting 242 with 7 home runs and 30 runs batted in. It is inside for a ball. Frank squared around to bluff the bunt. Bob Aspromonte playing a deep third base. That's a call strike as Thomas run the hand down the bat again and bluffed the bunt, but took it for a call strike. It's 1-2. Tim Harkness is on deck for the Mets. This pitch misses outside. 2-2. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on it. The ground ball is short. Jim Wynn is up with it. Lays it on low, but out at first base. Pete Reynolds dug it up on a short hop at first. Thomas has grounded out. One away, and Tim Harkness is coming up. Harkness heading 203 with 7 home runs and 28 runs batted in. The Houston Gold 45 have been the rainmakers for the New York Mets. Last year, these two teams lost two games because of rain. He tried to check the swing, took it around for a strike. It's strike two, now to Harkness. And, of course, when the Gold 45s were in here earlier this year, a game was rained out. It'll be made up tomorrow night. That pitch is low. 1-2 to Harkness. The 1-2 offering is high and away. It's 2-2. Starting play today in the National League, Tommy Davis leading the batting race. Tommy Davis of the Dodgers hitting 330. Ron Santo of the Cubs hitting 319. Dick Groat of the Cardinals hitting 317. Here's a swing and a miss, strike three. Second strikeout for Hal Brown. Two away, nobody on base. You know, baseball and Rheingold make a great team, so pour it all cold glass of Rheingold extra dry and settle back for more of this ball game. Joe Hicks coming up for his first time in the game. Joe recently purchased from Buffalo. Still looking for his first hit for the New York Mets. He's been up only four times previously. And it's high and away for ball one. He's a left-hand batter, wearing number 22. Swing and a miss. It's 1-1. Have made a number of personnel changes recently, bringing up Joe Christopher and Joe Hicks from Buffalo. Here's a swing and a fly ball to center field, and slipping down is Howie Goss, and the ball goes on over his head. Backhanded by Rusty Staub, Hicks is at second base, holding up with a double. At center field, Howie Goss, starting over, slipped down on the wet turf of the outfield. It goes as a double. That is the first hit for the Mets on Skinny Bounds. It is the first hit for Joe Hicks as a New York Met, an extra base hit. Larry Burright is coming up. He was recently brought back to the Mets from Buffalo. Two men out, a runner at second. Burright batting 192 for the season, three runs batted in. Cloudy, rainy afternoon, seven runs behind. You can hear the Mets fans starting the Let's Go Mets chant. Somebody brought the bass drum today. Pitch to the right-hand batter. It's high for ball one. Burrard up for his first time in this game. Don Rowe is swinging a bat on deck. And the pitch is high for ball. It's 2-0. The umpire's on the bases this afternoon wearing shirt sleeves. It's 2-0 pitch and it's high for ball. So it's up to 3-0. Smooth out the dirt a little where he's been striding on the mound. Joe Hicks leads at second. 3-0 pitch is high and he walks it. That's the second walk given up by Hal Brown. He walked Snyder in the first inning. Mets now have runners. runners at first and second. Two men out on pitcher Don Rowe at the plate. He's a left-hand batter. He's been up 10 times this year and has two hits. Pitches in there for a call strike to Don Rowe. Houston leading by a score of 7-0 with the Mets batting in the bottom of the second. First game of a scheduled doubleheader here at the Polo Grounds in New York. Here's a swing and a fly ball to right. Lefty Stahl has it lined up. He has called and Stahl makes the catch. So the side is retired in the bottom of the second. The Mets got no runs on one hit. No errors and two left, and at the end of two innings, it's the Colt 45-7 and the Mets nothing. The Colt 45s with a seven-run first inning are leading here by a score of 7-0 as they come up in the third inning. And coming in here is Ralph Kiner.
Okay, Lindsay. Hi there, everybody. Score 7-0. The Colt 45s with seven big ones in the first inning. Starting pitcher for the Mets knocked out of the box, Galen Sisco. Now in the game, it's Don Rowe, and he'll be working to Howie Goss, the center fielder. And the first pitch, a slider on the outside corner, looked at for strike one. Goss batting 214. He popped to second base in the first inning. Now the pitch back to the right-hand batter, a swing and a miss at a low fastball for strike two. For the Mets, behind home plate, Jesse Gunder. At first base, Tim Harkness. At second, Ron Hunt. At short, Larry Burright. At third base, Jim Eckman. Now Rowe back to work, and a curveball is over. Strike three called. So Don Rowe picks up his first strikeout. Wait a minute now. Thought it was strike three. Evidently, the sign given by Donatelli was not a strike in the prior pitch. And there is a strike, and there is strike three called. I don't know what happened out there before. They had given the strike sign, but evidently he had not called it a strike on a prior pitch. But anyway, he struck out, and that's the first strikeout. I'll tell you one thing, Ralph. He came across to Howie Goss because he was on his way to the dugout. That's right. They called him back up there, so he had another shot at it. But Don Rowe got him. First strikeout for Don. One out. The batter is John Bateman. And Bateman takes a strike at the knees for strike one. Bateman tripled to left center field his first time up and drove in three runs. He's batting 197. He has now 26 RBIs. There's a pitch low. Ball one. Strike one. Pitch back in the dirt, ball two. The Los Angeles Dodgers doubleheader postponed because of rain, but the Dodgers won the game. They had played six innings and they defeated Philadelphia 3-2. The winning pitcher, Johnny Padres, and the Dodgers now, with the help of the rain, seven in a row. They have won 12 of their last 13. Here's a pitch back, a strike call. Two balls, two strikes. After six innings, the Dodgers doubleheader postponed, but the Dodgers won the first game. There's a pitch low, ball three. Three balls and two strikes to John Bateman. Now the left-hander looking for the sign. Takes it, comes back to the plate, and there's a hard ground ball down the short. Picked up by Burright. The throw across in time for out number two. Two men out, and Hal Brown will come to bat. Brown singles to right field off the bottom of the wall his first time up. And he also drove in a run. Colts with seven runs in the first inning, their biggest inning so far this year, and they lead the ball game 7-0. Brown, a right-hand batter, batting 111, and he takes the strike. Pitch back is fouled right over the top of the radio booth, and out of play for strike two. Lindsey Nelson all set to make the play, but went right over the top of his head. Working quickly, again comes back to the plate, and again a foul ball, this time over the top of the press box, and the count holds it 0-2. Two strike count, and the pitch to Brown is fouled in the dirt this time. Ball looked at by Tony Vinzon and thrown out. New ball put in play. Here is Rowe again back, and this time he misses low. One ball, two strikes. One ball, two strikes, two men out. Rowe back again inside.
So the count rounds at 2 balls and 2 strikes. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 men out. Colts lead 7-0. Top of the third inning. Here's the pitch, and there's a little pop fly back at second base. Moving back is Ron Hunt. He makes the catch. That retires the side. So for the first time in the game, the Mets take the Colts in order. 1-2-3 in the score at the end of 2.5 innings of play. The Colts 45-7. The New York Mets, nothing. While the Dodgers getting help from Jupiter Ferbus, winning the ball game after 6 innings, and they now have temporarily increased their lead to 6.5 games over the San Francisco Giants. And the pennant race, still anybody's guess. Different people picking different teams for different reasons, but the Dodgers are pretty well out in front now, but you can never tell. You know, when it comes to selecting New York's favorite beer, well, millions of people agree on this one. It's Rheingold Extra Dry. And the reason? Because Rheingold has a flavor all its own. And dry tells you why. Two little words, extra dry, tell you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costly way for a taste that's brisk and bright and clean clear through. Brewed extra dry to be extra refreshing. So why don't you stock in a supply of refreshing Rheingold and enjoy a glass along with the game. Soon you'll find yourself joining the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. The bottom half of the third inning, the Colt 45 is out in the field. The Mets now coming up and batting for the second time, and the game will be Ron Hunt. Ron grounded out the third his first time up. He's a right-hand batter, batting at 256. Mets have had one base hit off Skinny Brown. That was a double to center field by Joe Hicks, his first National League hit. And the first pitch by Brown is hit deep to left field, way back there. And the ball is hauled down by the left fielder, Al Spangler, catching the ball by the bullpen. That ball hit about 450 feet. With a deep drive to left field out now for out number one, and Jim Hickman will come to bat. Still some rain falling in the ballpark. And with rain in Philadelphia, there's a possibility we could have some more rain right here at Polo Ground. 7-0 score, the Colt leads, and a knuckleball by Brown is low to Hickman for ball one. Jim struck out on a knuckleball his first time up. He's batting 220. Pitch back, a fastball, looked at, strike one. 1 ball, 1 strike. Now the 1-1 delivery, and this one has popped up in shallow left field, going back to the shortstop. Also the left fielder moving on, but the shortstop makes the catch. Jim Wynn pulling the ball down about 60 feet back on the grass, back at the dirt part of the infield. 2 men out now. The batter will be Duke Snyder, who walked his first time up. Duke batting 236. And Snyder's first pitch, a knuckleball fouled back over the press box for strike one. Al Brown, the pitcher for the Colt 45, acquired from the Yankees, throws about 90% knuckleball. He has a fast breaking knuckleball, throws it fairly hard, and it breaks down in a straight pattern, almost like a curveball. There's a high knuckleball. 1 ball, 1 strike. He's a fast working pitcher. Now he takes the sign, comes back to Snyder. Knuckleball again. This one hit foul down to Solly Hemus. So the count is 1 ball and 2 strikes. In Brown's last 2 outs, he has given up only 2 runs. He won 1 game, 1-0, lost the other. Was shut out. Now the 1-2 pitch, knuckleball again, hit off the end of the bat into the hole by the shortstop in the left field of base hit for Duke Snyder. Picked up by Al Spangler, and Snyder holds at first base. Hit number 2 for the Mets off round, and brings up Jesse Gonder. That ball is hit right off the end of the bat, spinning on through the hole, right by the shortstop, Wynn in the left field. Jesse Gonder, a left-hand batter, coming up. He grounded out the first his first time up, batting 333. Jesse had 2 home runs off Don Drysdale in the last series in 1 game. And his first pitch is high right through at the letters for strike one. And those two home runs by Jesse Gonder, equaling the two home runs that Duke Snider had in the ballgame. There's a foul ball into the stands. Strike two count. Out in the bullpen now, Ernie Fazio and Carl Warwick, an infielder and an outfielder, warming up. Two-strike count to Jesse Gonder. Brown now comes back to the plate with a knuckleball. It is high for ball one. One ball, two strikes. Duke Snider at first base not being held on. Colts lead 7-0. Again, the knuckleball. There's a drive to center field, but Howie Goss is right there, and he takes it in for the final out of the inning. For the Mets, no runs on one hit. No errors, one man left, and the score at the end of three. The Colts 45, seven runs on five hits. The Mets have no runs and two hits. The final revised edition of the New York Mets official 1963 yearbook is now on sale. This new edition contains many new action pictures in addition to biographical and statistical data on Jimmy Pearsall, Jesse Gonder, Joe Hicks, Duke Snider, and the rest of the Mets squad. There are stories about Casey and his coaching staff, Shea Stadium, the Stadiorama scoreboard, the farm system, the men behind the scenes, and many other interesting facts and stories. You know, some of the photos, they've got a lot of new ones. Well, they have one of Casey leading a band. The Mets at West Point, the 1963 Old Timers Day ceremony. Jimmy Pearsall hitting his 100th home run. And he ran backwards on that one, if you recall. Willie Mays night, an opening day. So to obtain your copy of the final revised edition of the Mets official 1963 yearbook, send 50 cents to Met Yearbook, Polograms, New York, 39, New York. The book is also available at the Met Midtown ticket offices, located in Grand Central and Pennsylvania Station. Moving to the fourth inning with the Colt 45s on top, 7-0. The first batter will be Al Fangler, the leadoff man. Had a home run as the first batter in this ball game here today, and he takes a high outside pitch from Don Rowe for ball one. He batted twice in the first inning when the Colt 45 sent 11 men to the plate. His second time up, he fouled out. There's a high pop-up in front of the mound. Coming out is Jesse Gonder. Now calling is Jim Hickman, and Jim makes the catch. So Spangler now is 1-for-3. The Mets have one out here in the fourth inning, and Johnny Temple will come to bat. John is 0-for-2. Second baseman batting 264. And the first pitch is inside, ball one. John is quite a character, and he's been quite a ball player. His big record set with Cincinnati. Here's a 1-0 pitch inside again, ball two. He's known as the last of the playing umpires. He really gives the umpires a bad time at the plate. Here's the 2-0 pitch, flying hard over the third base bag right down the line. A base hit. He might go for two. He rounds. Ball is picked up by Thomas, and Thomas's throw stops him at first base. The ball gets away from Ron Hunt, but no play on. Temple with a base hit, and we're going to have a pinch runner for Johnny Temple. It's going to be Ernie Fazio. Fazio, a bonus player, signed up along with Bob Garibaldi out of Santa Clara last year. Out, a man at first base. The score is 7-0 in favor of the Colt 45s, and the batter will be a pinch hitter batting for Pete Reynolds. Here's the first pitch. It's high for ball one. Carl Warwick batting for Pete Reynolds. Reynolds 1-for-2 being taken out. And the pitch back is high again. Ball two. Announcement of Carl Warwick in the game. Again high by Don Rowe, and it's ball three. Three balls, no strikes. Rowe sets and comes back, and there's a drive hit down the left field line, foul. And while we wait for a new ball to be put in play, we'll pause for station identification.
The voice of the Mets in the Great Northeast, WGY Schenectady. The time, 1 minute past three.
Along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy. There's a ball hit down to third. Hickman goes over to second in time. The throw to first base, not in time. That's just missing their 88th double play. All Ulrich beating the throw to first base by half a step.
As you erase going on down to second base, and we now have two men out, and the batter will be
Rusty Staub. Rusty, who was hit by a pitch ball his last time up, a left-hand batter. And his first pitch is line foul down the right field line. Staub batting 209. And he looks at a curveball, strike two. Strike count. A left hand in the mound. Don Rowe now working back, and there's a high slider popped up in foul territory. Gonder looks. It goes out of play. 0-2, the count holding. Colts on top. They have seven runs with six base hits. The Mets have no runs and two hits. We're in the top of the fourth with two men out. And the pitch back to Staub is a call, strike three. And now the signal being that the ball did glance off of the bat. A foul tip held onto by Jesse Gunner. A strikeout to be given to Don Rowe, and that retires the side. In the inning, no runs on one hit. There were no errors. One man was left on base, and the score at the end of 3 1/2 innings of play. The Colts 45-7, the New York Mets nothing. Out go here in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Frank Thomas, the first batter, and the first pitch to him is a knuckleball over for strike one. Frank, a right-hand batter, batting for the second time. He grounded out the short his first time up. There's a base hit right through the hole into left field. Ball picked up by Al Spangler and thrown on in, and the Mets now have a runner at first base with no one out. They trail 7-0. For the Colts 45, changes in their defensive alignment. At second base now, Ernie Fazio in place of Johnny Temple. In right field, Carl Warwick in place of Rusty Staub. And Rusty Staub has been moved to first base in place of Pete Reynolds. Mets now with a runner at first base. And the batter is Tim Hartner. Tim struck out on a fastball his first time up, batting at 202. And the first pitch is high for ball one. The base hit by Frank Thomas, the third off Kenny Brown in the mound. Pitch back to Harkness, a hard swing and a miss for strike one. One ball, one strike. Strike, and again a hard swing and a miss, but strike two. Rain coming down a little bit harder right now here at the Polo Grounds. 1-2, and a knuckleball is over. The ball dropped by John Bateman, but he picks it up and tags Harkness out, and a strikeout is given to Hal Brown on the mound. His third in the ball game. It brings up Joe Hicks. Joe doubled to right center field his first time up, his first National League base hit, and of course his first hit is a Mets. Well, now would be a great time to order up for four glass of that famous dry beer, and that's got to be Rheingold. It's beer's beer's good taste. There's a pitch to Joe Hicks at a high foul ball down the right field line, coming over Carl Walling. And also there, Ernie Fazio, and the ball is in the corner, caught by the right fielder, Carl Warwick. And there's a sign given by the first base umpire who had gone out there, Mel Turner. Actually, Warwick disappeared from sight. He went so deep into the corner right in the foul territory area. So a fine play by Carl Warwick. Two men out now. And the batter will be Larry Burright. Larry walked his first time up. Right-hand batter. The score 7-0. The Colt 45's lead. And the first pitch hit in the hole through into left field on the ground. A base hit. Frank Thomas moves to second base and holds there. So the Mets now have runners at first and second base. Second time that they have had a man at second base. And the batter will be Don Rowe, who is a good inning pitcher. Don flat out to right field his first time up. Mets trying to stay alive. They're also trying to keep the game going right at this point as slowly as possible. Of course, with a rain threat, there's a chance that
The seven run could be erased. Here's the first pitch to Don Rowe. He pulls a foul for strike one. Rowe has two hits and 11 trips to the plate this year. Brown now back to work, and a knuckleball is hit foul over by the dugout. John Bateman coming over, and he makes a good try, the ball off his glove, and he goes down into the dugout. He's all right now, coming back out. Of course, you can go in the dugout to make that catch. If you stay on the dugout area and go on in, and the ball is in play. Strike count holding on Don Rowe. Runners at first and second, two men out, bottom half of the fourth. And a knuckleball is lined to right, a base hit. Coming over, Carl Woolrich. He juggles the ball, picks it up. Frank Thomas will score. Here comes the throw in, and going to third base is Larry Burleigh. That's with the first run of the ball game. Over the first baseman's head. And Carl Woolrich made a good play to get to it before it got to the wall. He juggled the ball. Otherwise, he would have had a chance possibly on cutting Frank Thomas down trying to score. But Frank did score. No error in the play. The score now 7-1 in favor of the Colt 45. And batting for the third time in the ball game, Ron Hunt. Runners at first and third. 2 men out. And the first pitch to Rod is fouled away for strike one. One strike gun. Ron batting 255. He is 0-2. And Brown comes back with a knuckleball at slow. One ball, one strike. John Bateman gets in the game, using the oversized glove to handle a knuckleball by Skinny Brown. Glove first put in use at Baltimore when Paul Richards was the manager there. Here's a pitch outside. 2 balls, 1 strike. Paul Richards now the man in charge of player personnel for the Colt 45. He has just been given a 6-year contract. 7-1, the Colts lead. Mets with runners at first and third. Pitch back to Hunt. Foul back. Strike two. Two balls, two strikes. Now Brown sets. And comes back, and there's a base hit, possibly to left. Coming on strongly to left field, and he makes the catch. Stayed up in the air, and Ron Hunt lined out the left field. Al Spangler coming on quickly to pick that ball up, and it was hit so well it stayed in the air. Average tires aside in the inning for the Mets. They score one run on 3 base hits. There were no errors. 2 men were left on, and the score at the end of 4. Colt 45-7, the New York Mets 1. Now to bring you up to date on the scores, Lindsay Nelson.
All right, Ralph Connahan, the National League, we're getting a lot of rain around today. San Francisco scheduled against the Pittsburgh Pirates in Pittsburgh, a doubleheader postponed because of rain. The Giants will be here on Wednesday night and Thursday night. The Los Angeles Dodgers scheduled for a doubleheader in Philadelphia. Got 6 innings of the first game in before rain came. That's enough for a ball game, and the Dodgers won. It's 3-2. Johnny Padre's got the win. His 8th of the season against 6 losses. Cal McLeish took the loss. Johnny Callison and Ruben Amaro homered in that ball game for the Phils. But the Dodgers won it 3-2, and the second game postponed because of rain. The end of 3.5 innings, the Cardinals 5, the Chicago Cubs 1. Hobby for Chicago Brewer in the second, Elson in the fourth, Ray Sadecki for the Cardinals. Boyer and White have homered for the Cards. That's the first game of a doubleheader. The end of 4, the Cincinnati Reds 4, the Milwaukee Brewers nothing. Show against the Tura, Steele, and Pinson have homered for the Reds. That is the first of 2 in the American League. The Yankees are at Kansas City for a doubleheader. Detroit at Washington, a doubleheader postponed because of rain. Baltimore and Chicago at the end of 2 innings. No score. McCormick against Herbert. That's the first of 2. Right now we are going through the top half of the 5th inning.
And here is the first pitch. Low to Bob Ash for money, or rather in there to Ash for money for a called strike one. Here's a pitch for him, lined into the glove of Hickman at third. One away, and that will bring up Jim Wynn for the Colt 45. The end of 3.5 innings, the Cleveland Indians 3 and the Minnesota Twins 1. Ramos against Scott. Rosales, Chansby, and Fatty have homered in that ball game. Boston is at Los Angeles for a doubleheader. A much later start. Wynn is a right-hand batter. Rowe with the pitch swung on and foul back. Well, it is not raining as hard at this moment as it has been a little earlier. For this to be an official ball game, we must get into 5 full innings. The home team trailing must bat in the bottom half of the 5th inning before it becomes an official game. Here's a drive deep to left, way back, going, and this one is a home run for Jim Wynn, his first major league home run. So he comes out around, and the score is 8-1 now. The Colts 45 is leading. That will bring up Howie Dodge. The Massapequa Elks are with us today, 200 of them. They are entertaining 100 orphans who are the guests of the Mets at today's game. Swing and a miss for strike one. Howie Dodge. That pitch is low. It's 1-1. Gets the sign, and here's a pitch swung on and fouled off. The man on the field who has been constantly checking the weather is the senior umpire, Augie Donatelli. He is the umpire at second base. Here's a swing and a ground ball. The shortstop taken by Furright. Plays across in time. Dodge has grounded out, two away. That'll bring up Johnny Bateman. When any decision is made, if one is made on the weather, it'll be made by the umpire at second base. Donatelli, who would signal it to the umpire behind the plate, Tony Benson, but no immediate threat of this one being shot because the field is still in good condition. Pitch is low and away for ball one. The Colts got 7 runs in the top of the first, and they lead by a score of 8-1. Pitch is in there for a call strike. 1-1 now to Johnny Bateman. He tripled to drive in 3 runs in that big first inning. Here's a swing at a fly ball to right center. Joe Hicks is over. He has it lined up deep, and he makes the catch for the out. So the side is retired. Colts are out on the top of the 5th with no runs on 1 hit. The homer by Jim Wynn, no errors, and none left. In the 4.5 innings, it is the Colts 45-8 and the New York Mets 1. Well, you know, it's a big, wide, wonderful world we live in. There's so many ways to enjoy life. Boating, golf, tennis, swimming, picnicking, or just relaxing in the backyard. You know what goes with all of this? Well, sure you do. Rheingold Extra Dry Beer. It's a wonderful beer to enjoy on a wonderful day. In fact, Rheingold makes even ordinary days seem wonderful. It's the flavor that does it. The extra refreshing flavor that is Rheingold's alone. And dry tells you why. Rheingold's way of brewing is long, slow, and costly, but it pays off in taste. It gives Rheingold the happiest taste in beer today. But why not find that out for yourself? The next chance you get, open up for order a fine, cold Rheingold. Discover why millions say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Discover why Rheingold is New York's largest selling beer. Out of the bottom half of the 5th inning, and Jim Hickman will be up to lead off for the New York Mets. Kenny Brown is on the mound. Playing a ground ball to third, taken deep by Astromonte. The play across to Rusty Schaub is in time, and Hickman has grounded out. Hickman swinging on the first ball pitch here in the bottom half of the 5th inning. That brings up Duke Snyder. He has walked and singled. When the Mets have completed batting in this half inning, this will be an official ball game. Brown with the pitch. Swung on. Does it deep to center. Going way back is Howie Goss. And this one is taken by Goss in the warning track in front of the center field bleachers. Goss got a good jump on the ball. That is more than 450 feet. Taken in the warning track in front of the right center field bleachers section at the polo ground. Snyder gets a hand as he comes back to the dugout after belting that one a long, long way. Jesse Gunder coming up with 2 men out. Gunder has grounded out to first and flied out to center field. Down with a no-wind-up delivery, and it's low and inside for ball. Frank Thomas is on deck now for the Mets. Batting in the bottom of the fifth, trailing 8-1. Here's a swing and a high fly ball to short center, and moving over is Howie Goss. He is there. He makes the catch, and this is an official ball game. As the New York Mets in the bottom of the fifth got no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. At the end of five, Houston Colts 45, 8, the New York Mets 1. We're going now to the top half of the sixth inning. And coming up to lead off for the Colts 45 will be pitcher Skinny Brown. Rod Keneal is warming up. Pitcher Don Rowe. Choo-Choo Coleman came in from the bullpen area. There is no catcher out there in the moment. I think we're going to get a catching change here. Keneal makes the throw on down to second base, and umpire Tony Vinson is signaling up to public address announcer Jack Lee that we're going to have a new catcher. Here's the announcement. Choo-Choo Coleman coming out of the dugout right now. Coleman replaces Jesse Gunder behind the plate for the Mets. Kenny Brown steps into the batter's box. Left-hander Don Rowe working for the Mets in relief of the starter, Galen Sisco. And the pitch is zipped in for a call, strike one. Again, the pitch, and it's low for ball. It's 1-1. To keep a scorecard, Coleman will bat fourth in the Mets batting order. And a pitch swung on and full foul on the ground. Just back at there is Jared Crawford, the umpire down there. Runs the count to 1-2 to Skinny Brown. Go 45 on 8 runs on 7 hits. The Mets have 1 run on 5 hits. Pitch is in there for a call, strike 3. That's the third strikeout for Don Rowe in this game. One away for the Colt 45s in the top of the sixth, and Al Spangler is coming up. Spangler leading off here this afternoon for the Colt 45s, hits the second pitch of the game into the right field seat for a home run. Since then, he has popped the third twice. Is a breaking ball in there for a call strike to Spangler. It has been established again here this afternoon that the new breed is a hardy breed. Pitch is low for a ball. As you can probably hear, a group of youngsters with a bass drum, a trumpet, and assorted paraphernalia are trying to get a Let's Go Mets chant started. Here's the pitch low for a ball. One pitch, and it's inside for ball. 3-1 to Al Spangler. And although we've had a light rain falling throughout most of this game, many fans have remained in the lower box seat areas with umbrellas. Here's the pitch high. Ball 4 and Warwick goes to first with the base on ball. That is, although Spangler goes to first with the base on ball. That is the first walk issued by Don Rowe since he came on here in relief of Sisco in the first inning. Now Tony Fazio coming up for his first time in this game. There's a swing and a pop towards second. Digging out is Ron Hutt. Now looks to find the ball and can't get it. First ball's in the throw to second. The force is made there on Spangler. So there'll be no error on the play. Joe Hicks picked up the ball and threw into Burright. That play goes 8-6 if you're scoring on Spangler. Hutt simply turned his back to the grandstand and started digging out and did not look for the ball until he was where he thought it was going to be. And when he got there and looked, it wasn't there. So the ball fell safely, holding up, thinking it was going to be caught with Spangler. So Hicks picked up the ball and made the point. So there's now a pitch to Carl Warwick. Here is foul back and out of play. So Fazio is simply on the field of choice as Spangler was forced on the play. There's a pitch a little tight, and it's 1-1 to Carl Warren. For his second time here, he's batted for Pete Runnels in the top of the fourth. Swinging a foul ball on the ground out of play. 1-2 now to Warren. We're on the top half of the sixth inning here at the Polo Grounds. First game of a scheduled doubleheader. Houston 8th, and that's 1. There's a swing and a pop to right in short right field. Ron Hunt is back there now waiting. And he makes the catch to retire the side. In the top of the sixth, the Colt 45 has got no runs on no hits, no errors, and one left. And at the end of five and a half innings, it's the Colt 45's 8th, the New York Mets 1. You've probably heard a lot about ball player superstition, but man seemed to have almost as many. One friend of mine only lights a cigarette when his team comes to bat, and another smokes only during the odd-numbered inning. Well, whenever you smoke while you're enjoying the game, here's a way you can enjoy each cigarette more. Just make it a Viceroy. Because Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right, and you can count on it. If you smoke all seven leading filter brands, you'll find some taste too strong, just like the unfiltered kind. And some taste too light. They filter all the fun and flavor out of smoking. But Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. So next time, buy a carton of Viceroy in the familiar soft pack or the new slide top tea. Either way, fans, Viceroy has got the taste that's right. Going here to the bottom of the sixth, and Mike Thomas is up to lead off for the Mets. He singled in the bottom of the fourth and has scored the only runs the Mets have in this game so far. Kenny Brown started. He's still on the mound for the Colt 45. No wind-up delivery. Pitch is swung on and missed for strike one. Tim Harkness now on deck for the Mets. Inside for ball, it's 1-1. The 1-1 offering swung out, and there's a fly ball on the left. Hanging right there is Al Spangler. He waits and makes the catch. One away, nobody on for the Mets there in the bottom of the sixth, and first baseman Tim Harkness coming up. He has been a twice struck out both times. Is low for a ball. They should have joined us along the way. The coach got seven runs in the first inning, five of them charged against starter Galen Sisco, who failed to retire a man before he was relieved by Don Rowe. This one is a foul ball back at first. Digging over is Rusty Staub, and catches Johnny Bateman. Takes Staub, calls, and makes the catch. So Harkness has fouled out to first base. Two away, nobody on. Coming up is center fielder Joe Hicks. Time to relax with a Viceroy cigarette. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. Joe Hicks doubled in the bottom of the second to center field. His first National League hit. Pitch is low for a ball. Umpire Tony Benson behind the plate examines the ball and leaves it in play. Why should examine any ball hitting in the dirt now? Here is swing and miss. 1-1. The field does not appear to be slippery at any place, despite the fact that we have had a light rain falling throughout the game. Here's a pitch low. We're speaking of the infield areas. Of course, the grass is slippery, as evidenced by the fact that Howie Goss put down on a ball hit by Hicks for that double in the second inning. Swing and a ground ball foul. It's out of play, and it got 2-2. Taken by Sidier at second, and he throws on to Staub at first in time, and the Mets are out on the bottom of the sixth with no runs on no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of six innings of play, it is the Colt 45's 8 and the New York Mets 1. Giants will be coming in here after this Code 45 series, and Bob Mercer will be in here to tell you more about that just as soon as we pause for station identification.
The voice of the Mets in the Northeast, WGY Schenectady, a General Electric station. The time, 29 minutes past 3.
Okay, Lindsay, Alvin Dark and the Giants have two night games here in the Polo Grounds to wind up the homestand for New York. The Giants are in on Wednesday night and Thursday night. Willie McCovey having a blistering year for the San Francisco Giants. Willie and Henry Aaron tied for the Major League lead in home runs. Each belting 26, Willie Mays now has hiked his total to 17. So the Giants are in for two night games on Wednesday night and Thursday night. Following the Thursday night game, the New York Mets will then open a lengthy road trip in Philadelphia. In the seventh inning, Rusty Staub leads off for Houston against left-hander Don Rowe. Officially, Rowe has pitched the entire sixth inning. Now Don out of his windup, the pitch. It's over at the letter, strike one called to Rusty Staub. Staub has drawn a walk. Reached base when he was hit by a pitch and struck out. Off the outside corner, Chuchu Coleman working behind the plate. Goes right back into the glove of Don Rowe. Rusty Staub lined out to Rowe. Don just flicked the glove up and picked it out of the air. One away, nobody on in the seventh inning, and the hitter now, Bob Aspromonte. Aspromonte has drawn a walk, reached on a fielder's choice, lined out to third. Outside and high, one ball and no strike. Fly ball at the right field. Moving out into shallow right is Ron Hunt. And Ron makes the catch. There are two away. Houston got five of the seven runs off starter Galen Sisco. Don Rowe in six and two-thirds innings has given up two runs, allowed four hits. Down comes the pitch to the rookie shortstop, Jim Wynn, and he takes it for a strike on the outside corner. He hit his first major league home run, his last time at bat in the fifth inning. He has to get away from this one. It's inside the high. One ball and one strike. Jim Wynn, 21-year-old shortstop, right-hand hitter. A swing and a miss on a breaking pitch. Down low, one ball and two strikes. Jim Wynn is a Cincinnati boy who was drafted out of the Cincinnati organization by the Houston Colt 45. First half of this year, they had him playing at San Antonio. Just missed the outside edge in the count even 2-2. Houston out in front, 8-1. We're in the top of the seventh inning. Now the pitch taken inside and low, and a full count, 3-2. Ball four, it misses outside, and Wynn reaches on a walk. The second walk given up by Rowe. Now the hitter is Howie Goss, the center fielder. A grounder hit down to third, handled by Hickman. He pegs to Hunt. He's out for the fourth play that retires the side. Pretty close play at second base. No runs, no hits, no errors. One left on. Now at the end of six and a half innings, the score, Houston 8, New York 1. Half of the seventh inning as the New York Mets come up against Guinea Brown. Over for a call strike. Now Skinny out of his windup, delivers. Clear right, punch the ball. Off the mound comes Brown. He picks it up. Throws to first. Out at a close, close play. Larry Burrack trying to punt his way on to get something going here on the home seventh. He's out on a very close play. Don Rowe comes on to hit. Don has driven in the lone New York run with a single to right field that's waited Frank Thomas. Don has one hit and two times up and an RBI.
He swings for that real well. Now Skinny Brown winds, delivers. Knuckleball high, one ball and no strike. That's underway. A high fly ball. If it stays fair, it might do it. Let's watch. And it's going to be a foul ball. Foul ball landing in the upper deck. Down Rowe had a real polo ground swing on that one. Pulled it right down the line. But pulled it just a little bit too much and it went foul. Lights are on, skies are overcast, light rain falling. A swing and a miss on a breaking pitch. One ball and two strikes. Skinny Brown with a one and two delivery. Black foul, a back upstairs, no play in the count, one ball and two strikes. Skinny Brown has given up one run, allowed five base hits. Walked two and struck out three. A little pop-up towards shortstop taken by Jim Wynn. Well, it was soft, a liner than a pop fly. Not very high in the air, and Wynn just stood there to take it. There are two away, nobody on top of the batting order for second baseman Ron Hunt. Ron is 0 for 3 in the game, but his last two times at bat, he has hit the ball deep to left center and had it run down. It's thrown by Skinny, a slow grounder hit down to third. There, one hand pickup by Astrovani. The peg, he safe. Staff was pulled off the bag and handling the throw. We'll wait for the official scoring. It was a tough play for Astrovani, that slow grounder. The grass is slippery and hard to run fast on. He had to come in at full speed and then throw off stride. It'll go as an infield hit for Ron Hunt. So that is base hit number 6 by New York, and the batter now is Jim Hickman. Jim has been called out. Pops to short, grounded out to third, nothing for three. Swing, and a miss on a knuckleball. Young John Bateman has done a good job behind the plate with a big mitt handling the knuckler of Skinny Brown. Here's the pitcher on the way. Outside and low, one ball, one strike. Skinny's last time out, he lost a tough pitching duel to Milwaukee 2-0. And just prior to that, went all the way to a shutout to St. Louis Cardinals 1-0. Ground ball, a base hit through the hole into left field. Ron Hunt turns at second. He'll stop there. Al Spangler playing the ball back to the infield as Jim Wynn. The pitching coach of the Houston Colt 45 picks up the telephone and we'll have something starting up in just a moment or two for the Houston Colt 45. The hitter is Duke Snyder. Duke has walked, single to left, and hit a ball out on the warning track and right center that was caught. Lefty Hal Winterschick will start to get ready. Now the pitch to Snyder. A ground ball hit hard towards second. Ernie Fazio comes up with it. Plays to stop, and the side is out. No runs, two hits, no errors, two left on. Now 7 innings complete, and the score, the Houston Colt 45-8, and the New York Mets 1. That's the score here, and Ralph Kiner has the scores of other games for you. While rain has shown up all around the circuit, San Francisco is scheduled at Pittsburgh, rained out. They had a doubleheader scheduled there, and San Francisco will be in here at the Polo Grounds for Wednesday night and Thursday night games. So if you haven't made your plans, come on out and join us. That should be a real big series. The Los Angeles Dodgers won the first game after 6 innings when the game was called because of rain, and the second game was rained out, of course. In that game, the Dodgers won it 3-2, the winning pitcher, Johnny Padres. He now has won 8 and lost 6, and the Dodgers now have temporarily, at least, increased their lead. I guess you'd have to say they have increased their lead to 6 and a half games over the Giants. Also in the National League, Chicago at St. Louis. The Cardinals out in front 9-1 after 5.5 innings. Sadecki working on that one. Boyer and White home runs. That's the first of two. Cincinnati playing at home, and they lead Milwaukee by a score of 4-1 after 6.5. Shaw and Satoris, the pitchers in that one, the first of two. The American League, New York out the top of the first, no score. Kansas City now coming to bat. Stafford against Rakow. That's the first of two. Tracking right side of the start. Let's see how Winterschick will start to get ready. Now the pitch to Snyder. A ground ball hit hard towards second. Ernie Fazio comes up with it. Plays to stop, and the bat is out. No runs, two hits, no errors, two left on. Now 7 innings complete, and the score, the Houston Colts 45-8, and the New York Mets 1. That's the score here, and Ralph Kiner has the scores of other games for you. While rain has shown up all around the circuit, San Francisco is scheduled in Pittsburgh, rained out. They had a doubleheader scheduled there, and San Francisco will be in here at the Polo Grounds for Wednesday night and Thursday night games. So if you haven't made your plans, come on out and join us. That should be a real big series. The Los Angeles Dodgers won the first game after 6 innings when the game was called because of rain, and the second game was rained out, of course. In that game, the Dodgers won it 3-2, the winning pitcher Johnny Padres. He now has won 8 and lost 6, and the Dodgers now have temporarily, at least, increased their lead. I guess you'd have to say they have increased their lead to 6.5 games over the Giants. Also in the National League, Chicago at St. Louis. The Cardinals out in front 9-1 after 5.5 innings. Sadecki working on that one. Boyer and White home runs. That's the first of two. Cincinnati playing at home, and they lead Milwaukee by a score of 4-1 after 6.5. Shaw and Satoris, the pitchers in that one, the first of two. The American League, New York out the top of the first, no score. Kansas City now coming to bat. Stafford against Rakow. That's the first of two. Detroit and Washington postponed because of rain. Baltimore 4, Chicago nothing after 3.5, first of two. Minnesota 4, Cleveland 3 after 5.5, and now here's Bob. Johnny Bateman hits the first pitch on the ground, down to third. Jim Hickman takes across to Harkness, one away in the eighth inning. Later this afternoon, the Red Sox and the Angels round out the Major League Baseball schedule with a doubleheader on the West Coast. One away and nobody on, and we're waiting for Hal Skinny Brown to come out and face Don Rowe. Don came in the game in the opening inning with nobody out to relieve Galen Sisco. Houston scoring 7 of their 8 runs in the first. Trying to kick the mud out of his cleat. Rowe has his sign from Q2. Ground ball hit hard down to third. Jim Hickman going to his glove side is up with it. Throws the first, two down. They have been hitting the first pitch a great deal. Two outs and nobody on. Now Al Spangler coming on. Spangler got things going. He was the keynoter with a home run into the upper deck leading off in the ball game. Since then, he has fouled to third, popped to third, and drawn a walk. Now, Winterschick continuing to throw in the Houston bullpen. Winterschick, the real Cinderella story in baseball this season. Inside and low, one ball and no strike. Now, Winterschick, after 30 appearances, has an earned run average of 1.3. He has won 8 and lost 4. In 71 and two-thirds innings, he has given up only 39 base hits. He's been phenomenal. Pitch in the dirt, no play. What a chick who has bounced around for a number of years without ever really hitting his stride. Really blossoming out as a relief ace for Houston. Ball 4, Spangler walks on 4 pitches.
Bobby Nall, amazingly, he credits his success to the fact that he's learned how to throw a slider the right way for the first time. And you know who taught him? Rusty Staub. Now, that's sort of unusual.
Isn't that amazing?
Rusty Staub, first-year man and a first baseman, and he taught Winterschick how to throw a slider.
Boy, those are those little things that happen behind the scenes in baseball that you find it hard to believe. Here's Rusty Staub, just barely out of high school. A miss by Ernie Fazio on a two-strike count. I'll say one thing, Ralph. That speaks well for Rusty Staub's high school coach.
I guess Rusty might have pitched somewhere along the line because you can always learn something about baseball from just about anyone who has played.
High fly hit the left field by Fazio. Drifting back is Frank Thomas. He's under it. He puts it away and the side is retired. Fazio retired on the fly to left. No runs, no hits, no errors, one left on. Now at the end of 7.5 innings, the score, Houston 8 and New York 1. There are many ways to brew beer. Rango takes the long, slow, costly way, the extra dry way. And that explains why there's such a wonderful difference in the taste of Rango. Yes, sir, dry tells you why. Tells you why Rango is beer as beer should taste. Brisk and bright and clean, clear through. You know, costly ingredients are one thing, and Rheingold has them, but it takes more. It takes the skill of 126 years of brewing experience. The extra dry skill that is Rheingold's alone. And you can measure the difference that dry makes in taste. Rheingold has the happiest taste in beer today. No other beer can quite match it. So it's no wonder that millions say, "My beer is Rheingold the dry beer." But wouldn't you rather discover that difference for yourself? Enjoy the extra refreshment that comes with Rheingold Extra Dry Beer. Open up or order up Rheingold Rango. Coleman is up against Skinny Brown in the last of the eighth inning. Rain coming down a little bit harder now. One ball and no strikes to 2-2. Skinny delivers inside and low. It's ball 2-2-0. Ralph, I'd hate to have to carry that catcher's mitt in the suitcase. It's a big one. Of course, it might come in handy if you're riding a train. You can use it for a pillow. Now a 2-0 delivery. He bunts the ball down the third baseline. It's going to be tough to get in. They can't do it. 2-2 down with a punt base hit. Is on with a single on a punt. Beautiful punt. Aspamonte had no chance at all to get it. That brings up Frank Thomas. Frank has one hit and three times up. He scored the only run of the game for New York when he came in on the single to right field by Don Rowe. Now Skinny Brown, standing on a muddy hill, takes his side. In comes the pitch. And the curve outside and low. One ball and no strike. Kenny Brown has been a consistent 10 and 12 game winner. Real good spot pitcher. The 1-0 pitch. Foul ball. He had a curve that hung and lined it into the seats down the left field line. I don't know how much umbrellas cost, but a fellow was willing to lose his umbrella to try and catch a foul ball. He didn't know whether to drop the umbrella, go after the ball. I don't know. He was all confused. 1-1 delivery. Outside and high. There's nothing like looking up and seeing a line drive coming right at you to confuse you. Now the count, 2 balls and a strike. The pitch thrown, a high fly ball. It's deep to left field. Spangler way back, and it's gone for a home run. Field. It struck the railing of the upper deck. Boy, it is really getting dark now. It has rained the entire ball game, but just in the last few minutes, that overcast has really blackened them. Now Tim Harkness batting, and the knuckler is in, strike one goal. You want to collect a little rainwater to wash your hair with, get the bucket out, because it looks like it's going to come down. Next pitch by Skinny. Knuckler on the inside corner for a call strike. Jay Hook has started to warm up now for the Mets. An 8-3 ball game following the 2-run homer by Frank Thomas. Now the pitch on the way. Bounced foul. He barely got a piece of it. New York 3 runs on 9 hits.
Houston 8 runs on 7 hits. Rain coming down much harder, and now the umpires say, let's wait for a while and see if it gets any better. Well, let's check the timepiece. Right here at about 10 minutes until 4, the game is being delayed because of rain. Now the ground crew is going to cover the infield, so we're going to have a delay because of rain, and just in the last few minutes has the overcast really blackened. Rain picking up in tempo, coming down fairly hard right now, and many of the players are scrambling on the run towards the center field clubhouse. Most are leaving the dugouts, and after taking a look at that sky, saying, well, this looks like it might be a delay of 15 or 20 minutes or so, so they're going to sweat it out in the clubhouse rather than try and remain in the dugout, the big reason being that the way the wind is blowing, if they stay in the dugout, they get soaking wet because the wind is blowing the rain in towards the dugouts and the center of the home plate area. Though the game is being delayed because of rain, with Houston leading by a score of 8-3, we're in the last half of the eighth inning. For those of you who joined us late today, Houston scored 7 runs in the first inning. Al Spangler was the keynoter. He homered into the upper deck in right field, leading off in the ballgame. Johnny Temple reached safely on an error. Pete Ronaldson singled to left field. Rusty Staub drew a walk that loaded the bases. Bob Aspermonte walked, forcing in a run, and Houston led 2-0. At that point, Galen Sisco was taken out. Don Rowe came in. Rookie Jim Wynn singled home a run to make it 3-0. Howard Goss popped up to second, but John Bateman tripled with a bases loaded, driving 3 runs in, and Houston took the lead 6-0. Moments later, Skinny Brown, always a good hitter, singled off the wall in right field, scoring John Bateman with his 7th run in the first inning. The other Houston run in the ball game came in the 5th inning on rookie Jim Wynn's first major league home run. For the New York Mets, they picked up a run off Skinny Brown in the 4th inning on singles by Frank Thomas, Larry Burright, and a run-scoring single to right by Don Rowe. Here in the 8th inning, just before the delay, Choo-Choo Coleman punted his way on with the beauty of a bunt down the third baseline, and Frank Thomas unloaded a long home run to deep left center field. The ball struck the railing of the upper deck out near the bullpen area. And right after Frank hit the home run with a count of 2 strikes on Tim Harkness, the umpires decided that it might be best for one and all if they held up and waited to see if the rain is going to stop. So we'll have a rain delay right here with the Colt 45s in front by a score of 8-3. We'll be staying right on hand, and the moment that the umpires come out and indicate that they are ready to go once again. We'll be back on hand to detail the remaining play-by-play. But for right now, the game held up here on the polo grounds because of rain. During the interim, we return you to your local studio.
For a considerable delay period, the game was called, and the Colt 45s won 8-3.